Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Views and opinions expressed by those involved in the show are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views held by the Newbie Guide to Sweden. Hey, hey, god morgon, god dag, eller god kväll, whichever suits you. Welcome back to another episode of the Newbie Guide to Sweden podcast. My name is Shiona and God, I'm so chuffed that you're here with me again. This is the second episode of the podcast, but if this is your first time tuning in, that's totally fine. This podcast is a hot pot of all things Swedish, aimed at fellow newbies just like you who have come to call this place home. Each episode will meet fellow newbies just like you, folks who are doing interesting and amazing things in Sweden, as well as learn about Swedish culture and hit up different areas of the country that maybe you haven't visited just yet. Today we are venturing to a part of Sweden where I dare say most of you have been before. We're going to uncover a nasty, brutal, utterly horrific part of Sweden's history. But don't worry, we'll then take the edge off by introducing you to another cool newbie who is doing great things in the same area. As always, your input can make a huge difference to the shape of this podcast, so don't forget to get involved in the discussions in the Newbie Guide to Sweden Facebook group, and also our Instagram, at the Newbie Guide to Sweden. This is where we're going to ask you questions, take polls, get your insight on topics that we want to cover in the upcoming episodes. It's all collaborative, baby. But for now, sit back and relax, and let's kick things off with another 5-minute fika paus of the headlines happening around Sweden right now, so you are up to speed with all things Sverige. Here's just some of the things that culturally happening in Sweden right now. First up, Vasaloppet happened last weekend. Vasaloppet is the annual cross-country ski race held on the first Sunday of March every year. Vasaloppet is actually the biggest and oldest cross-country skiing race in the world, attracting thousands of eager skiers, both professionals and amateurs, from all over the planet. While anyone can do Vasaloppet, it's a hell of a race, and a lot of training is required to successfully complete it. Vasaloppet starts in Sälen and stretches for 90 kilometres, ending at Mora. The whole thing is televised and watched by around 2 million people in Sweden alone. It is a huge deal. This year, Vasaloppet was won by Andreas Nygaard for the men and Astrid Slind for the women, two Norwegians. And if you're not already aware, Swedes and Norwegians have a healthy little rivalry going on. And the fact that Vasaloppet has been won by a Norwegian for the last 10 years has not gone unnoticed. But I think the coolest thing about Vasaloppet is the history behind it. This 90-kilometre journey was originally taken by some very important people over 500 years ago. Back in the year 1520, a Swedish nobleman called Gustav Eriksson had fled to Dalarna. He was desperately trying to recruit an army to rise up and rebel against Sweden's latest evil Danish king. Gustav went from village to village to village, but he didn't have much success recruiting. Gustav ended up at the village called Mora, telling the farmers there all about the Danish king's horrifying and brutal ways. But they wouldn't believe Gustav and refused to join him. Having run out of options, Gustav then decided to flee to Norway. However, not long after Gustav left Mora, the villagers there started to hear more rumours about the horrors the Danish king was causing in Stockholm and immediately regretted not joining Gustav's crusade. The farmers of Mora needed to bring Gustav back and lead them to a revolution. So they sent two of their best skiers off to catch up with Gustav. They eventually found him 90 kilometres away in Salen and escorted him back to Mora. Not long afterwards, Gustav with his new army triumphed over the evil Danish king, and Gustav became Sweden's next king, more commonly known as King Gustav Vasa. That journey that he and those two farmers took from Salen back to Mora became the basis of the Vasaloppet. And if they had never taken that journey, who knows what would have become of Sweden? In other news, for those of you who listened to the last episode, you are hopefully very well aware that Melodifestivalen's grand final is on tomorrow night. Oh my God. This will be the evening we finally find out who will be representing Sweden in this year's Eurovision. Personally, my money is on Cornelia Jacobs. Okay, my dear darling newbie friend, let us walk together. We're going to take a little trip to somewhere literally quite close to me, being a Stockholmer, but perhaps this place is, in a way, close to all of us who move here, no matter where we end up in the country. It's a place bursting with Swedish culture, having bore witness to many significant moments in Swedish history, some dating back 1,000 years. Today, this place hosts beautiful shops on cobblestone paths, around 3,000 residents, and a hell of a lot of tourists. I am, of course, talking about Gamla Stan in Stockholm. All of Gamla Stan is like a walk-in museum with many houses built on medieval ground, particularly the area within Västerlånggatan and Österlånggatan, where a wall once stood surrounding the town in the Middle Ages. Looking around now, you feel the pride and the effort Stockholm has put into protecting and preserving Gamla Stan. It's a proud jewel of the city. But it wasn't always like that. In fact, there was a time Gamla Stan was considered so poor, disgusting, and unsanitary that many felt it was a disgrace for Stockholm, and they even wanted to get rid of it. In the mid-1800s, it was decided that Gamla Stan would be demolished. And the only reason it was saved was because it's super expensive to flatten a whole city island. Gamla Stan was considered an unsanitary, poor slum. The water was polluted, there was no trash collection, it was super overcrowded. The conditions meant that a third of infants would die during their first year. The rich and noble who used to live there had long left for more savoury parts of town, and Gamla Stan's buildings were left to rot and deteriorate. A really effective way of imagining exactly what life was like during this time is to look at how sewerage was handled on Gamla Stan up until the 1800s. Now, newbies, I hope you're not eating, because we are going to dive deep into sewerage. Back in the old days, there was naturally no sophisticated sewerage systems, but on Gamla Stan, it was a literal shit show. Back then, your toilet was just a small drain shooting out from your house, which usually ended up right outside your gate near the front door. And your ones and twos would just sit there until the rain washed them away. And keep in mind, we're talking about diets of fermented herring and meatballs, people. It is said you could smell Stockholm from several miles away in the Middle Ages all the way up to the 1800s. Fun fact, there's a few houses in Gamlestaden which still have their original dunny drains, which you can see from the street. A good place to see one is on Nygrand 2, where a sewer drain from the 17th century can be spotted to the left of the gate. Thankfully, as far as we know, it is no longer in use.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, there's no shortage of historical moments that were centered around Gamlestaden, but probably one of the most memorable is the bloodbath of 1520. Now, I should probably put some kind of trigger warning here. If you don't like blood or baths, you should probably skip over the next 4 minutes. No judgment. Okay. As for the rest of you freaks, let's dive in.
The year is 1520. The King of Denmark, King Christian II, having already invaded Sweden, has taken the capital, Stockholm.
Oi! He just took our capital!
Snooze you lose, bitches.
To celebrate his victory, he decided to hold a big fancy party on November 7th, which lasted for 3 days. It was a rager. Anyone who was anyone was there. Swedish noble families from all over the country came to get their groove on. However, like most parties that last for 3 days, things started to turn a bit sour.
Hey guys, King Christian II here. Thanks for coming. God, it's been wild. But look, actually, I think I'd like to play a little game now. No, not spin the bottle, Lash. You got too weird last time. No, the game is called Out With All The Arseholes. Who didn't think I should be king? Let's play.
King Christian II locked the gates and immediately put all the Swedish nobles before a judge to be interrogated. Those accused were sentenced to death.
Guilty. Guilty.
And were immediately taken to Stortorget to be executed. Roughly 90 people were killed, mostly by beheading. It is said that the heads of those killed tumbled down the street called Korkbrinken.
Oh, there goes Lars.
Their bodies were left in the square for many days.
Ooh, watch your step.
As a reminder to never cross their new, Danish, slightly unhinged king. Even today it is said that when the nights of November 7 to 10 are particularly bitter and humid, you can still see the blood flowing in the gutters around Stortorget. This horrible moment is regarded as Stockholm's bloodbath, and perhaps now we also know where they got the inspiration for the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones.
Over 100 years later, in 1650, a guy called Johan had the big red house built in Stortoriet, which still stands there today. You can see that this house has 92 white stones inserted into its facade. Each stone is said to represent a person killed in the Stockholm bloodbath. It is said that as long as these stones remain in their setting, the murdered spirits will be at peace. However, should any stone disappear from this house, the person it represents will become a ghost and have to walk the city streets forever and feast upon the flesh of those who move to Sweden from other countries. Okay, I made that last little bit up, but the rest of it is totally true. Now, in case you haven't already figured it out, King Christian II was the evil Danish king that I mentioned earlier when I spoke about the Vasaloppet. Yes! It was the Stockholm bloodbath that motivated Gustav Eriksson, later known as King Gustav Vasa, to revolt against the king and travel all the way to Dalarna to set up an army to overthrow him. In fact, one of the victims of the Stockholm bloodbath was Gustav's own father. No wonder he was pissed. Thankfully, as you know, it wasn't long after this event that King Christian II was overthrown. It just goes to show, being an arsehole king usually doesn't work out too well. This was fun, but it is clear that I am no historian. But thankfully, I found an expert who can tell us more about this fascinating place. And she is a newbie. Let me introduce Fer Donoso from Fer Donoso Tours. Hello, Fer.
Hi, Sean. Nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you. And we are sitting here on Gamlestaden. And we're here at Kop Cafe.
Cafe Koppen.
Cafe Koppen in the basement, which seems like a gajillion years old.
Yes, it. I think most of the basements here that you find, especially in this area, or the main square of Storgen, they go back to the 1300s, 1400s.
Oh my goodness. We are existing in history right now.
Yeah.
It's amazing to meet you, Fer, because as I understand it, you work with Swedish history because you're a tour guide.
I'm a tour guide. I am a certified tour guide for the city of Stockholm and Stadshuset. But it's a fantastic job. I think that is something that I really enjoy. And for me, Stockholm is the perfect place to showcase because Stockholm has everything.
Yeah. Do you have favorite parts of the city that you like to take tourists to and talk about? What's like your wish list for a tour of Stockholm?
It depends. It depends on the client, it depends on the people. If I have to pick places without falling into a cliche, I think one of the best places, or a must, not the best places, but a must to visit when you're in Stockholm is the Vasa Museum.
Oh, I love the Vasa.
That is, I never stop to be in awe every time I get into the museum.
Yeah.
One of my colleagues, actually, she referred to the Vasa, which is best preserved galleon warship from the 1600s. People don't understand it's the only one in the world, and 98% of it is its original.
Yeah.
From the sails to the ropes, absolutely everything. And she described the Vasa as the sleeping beauty of Stockholm.
Yeah.
And it's because it sank on the maiden voyage and it laid on the bottom of the sea for 333 years.
Yeah.
So I think that description, it encompasses a lot. So that I think is a must for everyone regardless, and it's a fun place for
But would you say like it's a place you could go back to again
if every single time that you go to the Vasa you discover something new. You really discover something new. It's a very nice place. It's very peaceful. It gives you some kind of energy. I don't know, it takes you back in time.
When you're taking people on tours around Stockholm, is there anywhere that you take them where you go, oh, this will absolutely blow the minds of my tour group?
Again, it depends on the group, but I think that one of the beauties of Stockholm is the sightseeing, the landmarks. We are right now in Gamlastan. Gamlastan, or the old town, it's located in Stadsholmen. This is one of the 14 islands that Stockholm, the main city of Stockholm, is built upon.
Yeah.
This island connects from one side Lake Mälaren, and the other side is the Baltic Sea.
Yeah.
So from the side of Lake Mälaren, you have a place called Montelius Bäggen. It's a 500-meter cliff path overlooking all the side of the lake, and you have the Stadshuset, the city, the city hall in front of you. And opposite side, you also have the same thing that is called Fjällgatan, which is called the balcony of Stockholm.
Yeah.
And you have a totally different view from the oldest part of Stockholm, from the Baltic Sea.
Yeah.
So when you have those kind of two things, people get really blown away.
Mm.
Now, personally, I have other places that I really, really like that not a lot of people go there. Hepsholmen in Kastellet.
Yeah.
That's a little fort in that island of Kastellholmen. If you go behind that fort, you have a fantastic view of the entrance of Stockholm.
Very good.
Especially when you see all the cruise ships coming.
Mm.
It is a fantastic view because the entrance to Stockholm is very narrow.
Mm.
And when you have these humongous cruise ships going by your side, like that, it's quite impressive. It's quite a view.
It is.
I like that. One of the beauties of Stockholm is still that it's one of the few capitals in the world that you can go all the way to the city center with a ship.
Yeah.
So there's no many places in the world that you can still do that. There's been a lot of speculation during the last few years, not only in Sweden, but within the cruise industry, that they don't want to allow the cruise ships to get into the cities because of pollution.
Mm.
But until today, it's a magnificent view. I mean, you get with a cruise ship basically to the main street of Stockholm.
Yeah, you don't have to take a cab for an hour or a bus.
Absolutely.
You're just there.
You just get out of there. Mm. You walk 10, 15 minutes and you're in the city center.
Yeah.
You're here.
You're here in Gamlastan.
So it's wonderful.
Yeah,
it is wonderful.
Such a good point.
I wanted to ask Farah more about the process of becoming a certified tour guide in Stockholm. How exactly does it work?
What's the process like when it comes to becoming a proper, fully fledged, certified tour guide in Sweden?
There's only a couple of places that in Stockholm you can get the course, that you can get the certification.
Mm.
It's a 6-7 months course, intense course, that covers everything, not only history, politics, education, welfare, legends, myths, traditions. And for me, besides the tourist part, the focusing on the job and everything, through this course, with this training, with the certificate, you understand the Swedish culture much, much more.
Yeah.
I think I was able to connect certain dots that for me were floating out there.
Yeah.
So you were able to understand more why things happen or why... What's the train of thought of certain things or certain decisions that happen here?
Does it make like certain aspects of Swedish culture make more sense? Like, oh, this is why Swedes
do this.
Yes,
because I think that for any expat moving to any country in the world, trying to understand whatever culture that you go to, at the beginning it can be a little bit daunting. I mean, it takes time to grasp how things work.
Yeah.
So I think that these teach you not only the history of Gamlastan or Stockholm or its people, but it shows you the core of what Sweden and Stockholm is.
It sounds like a course that would be fun to do, whether you're a tour guide or not. It sounds super interesting.
It was fantastic, and the teachers over there were fantastic mentors.
Mm.
Fantastic mentors. I cannot never stop saying that. Because the point of this is us to be the ambassadors of Sweden. We are the voice or the faces of Stockholm.
Yeah.
Seeing as I was getting to know one of the faces of Stockholm, I wanted to get to know more about Fer, the person, the expat who chose to move to Sweden.
How long have you been living in Sweden?
I've been here 7 years.
Fabulous.
I arrived here in 2015.
Lovely.
To Stockholm.
And what brought you here?
Like everyone, love and family.
Me too.
You're the same.
You originally come from Colombia, is that correct?
I was born in Colombia. My mom's Colombian. And all my family from my mom's side lives in Colombia. I never lived there. I grew up in Ecuador because my dad is from Ecuador.
Okay.
He was studying in Colombia. They got married. I was born. We moved there.
Yeah.
I studied in Ecuador. Then I moved to the States. I lived and worked there. But after I finished high school, one of the things that I did is, and that's why I got involved with tourism, is I studied tourism in Switzerland.
In Switzerland?
Yeah.
My Lord.
That was long before computers and everything that you can do yourself. So that was a course for that. So I studied tourism in Switzerland, and that's how I got involved in tourism.
Okay, so you've been doing tourism for a long time. You've been a tour guide in other countries?
No, when I finished my program, I worked for Iberia, which is the Spanish airlines.
Okay.
For several years. Then I opened my own business. It has nothing to do with tourism, back at home in Ecuador, before I moved to the States.
Okay.
And then in the States, again, totally different path. I work for BBVA, which is a Spanish bank, one of the largest banks in the world. The headquarters for the States were in Alabama, where I used to live.
Yeah.
And after that, I moved here to Sweden.
Okay, so you've lived in Ecuador, Switzerland, you've lived in Alabama and Stockholm, and there's probably more places that you've lived, but out of all of the places you've lived, is there one place that feels like home?
That's a very hard question. Mm. I remember my mom saying, because also my mom moved into another country, my mom used to say that she's always happy everywhere.
Yeah.
But she's never complete. Not in a bad way.
Mm.
Is that there's always a little piece missing somewhere. So when I'm here, I'm home 100%.
Mm. Okay.
But I have a little thing that misses back home. Yeah. And when I'm with my parents and my sisters and everything,
yeah,
I feel 100% at home.
Mm.
And there's a little hole missing that I say, okay, yeah, I need to back to Stockholm. So home is where your friends and family are. Yeah. I have friends and family all over the places.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to feel complete in one place when you're an expat. And I don't think that is nothing negative or that you are sad or depressed or not at all. But you divide your heart. That's the thing. You divide your heart and you accommodate your heart and your life.
Yeah.
To that moment where you're living.
Yeah.
But for me, when I'm in Stockholm, I'm home.
Yeah, you feel home. And
I'm home.
Yeah, and you have no sort of desire to leave at right now.
No, not at all. To tell you the truth, and this is 100% honestly, of all the places that I've lived, including my home countries, Sweden is a fantastic place to live.
It is.
I am not saying that everything is perfect all over the world, but I don't think that people realize that Sweden, when it comes to education, corruption, transparency, welfare, women's rights, children's rights, gays' rights, technology, people don't understand that Sweden is in the top 5 and top 10 countries in absolutely everything in the world.
Yeah. Yeah,
in absolutely everything in the world.
Mm.
Swedes by nature are very humble.
Yes.
They are very humble people.
Yes.
They don't like to brag. Bragging here, it's considered very, very tacky.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
They don't like it at all.
Mm.
But every single day all over the planet, someone is using something that it was made, discovered, developed in Sweden.
Yeah, absolutely.
The zipper.
The zipper. Jab,
the zipper.
That is Swedish.
That is Swedish. Matches.
A match is Swedish.
Matches. Most of the table of elements are Swedish.
Oh, my God.
The propeller. Cell phones. Absolutely everything. So nobody realizes how much Sweden has affected the world.
This little nation.
This little nation.
Powerhouse.
It's a powerhouse, but in every single area.
Yeah.
I mean, music-wise.
Music. Songwriters, the best songwriters for pop.
Best songwriters. So everywhere that you go, you find something that is Swedish, and people don't realize that.
No, and that's the thing, isn't it? I guess, like, once you're living here, you realize these things. But Sweden doesn't really have, like, the billboard going, we've done this. And it's almost like, do you find when people visit you here, they're really surprised by Sweden?
They're very surprised. Also, it's very, very interesting because if they want to brag, they have every single aspect to do so.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that everything is perfect, but they have absolutely everything to be proud of this country.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should be proud of this country. It is a fantastic place.
And are you, Fair, are you proud to be living here and being part of this country?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think when I tell people that I live in Sweden, first of all, it's like, Sweden?
Why?
What are you doing there? Again, they think that I live in an igloo, the darkness. I don't know. What do they think?
They think you're wearing Viking helmets.
The Viking helmets. They think, they feel Sweden, it's so far away, so remote, so foreign.
So foreign.
So foreign.
Mm-hmm.
Because when people come to Europe, from the States or Latin America or wherever, when they say, oh, I'm going to Europe.
Yeah.
It's Paris, London, Berlin, Rome. But people who come to Sweden, come to the Nordic countries, they are people who are really interested in knowing about the Nordic life, the Nordic countries.
Yeah. As a tour guide, then that also sort of, you know, you're not getting the sort of typical tourist on your tours, right? You're getting people who have dared to go somewhere that's not the norm.
No.
So does that make your job kind of, I guess, more hard, because you've got people who are, I guess they've got a lot of expectations if they're coming all the way to Sweden.
First of all, I thank them because I know that there's a lot of options to travel around the world right now.
Yeah.
To come to Sweden, I really, first of all, I tell people thank you to coming and to choosing Sweden, because it's, I think that the people who come here have some idea of Sweden.
Yeah.
But again, they don't know what to expect. And people who come here, they realize that it's a very special place. It's a very special place.
Yeah. I actually think being a tourist in your own city or a tourist in your own country is so fun. Yeah. And I would recommend, like, doing a tour where you live. It gives you a totally different perspective.
A totally different perspective. And there's always something new to learn.
Absolutely.
I mean, within us tour guides, we also take tours with different tour guides.
Oh, of course.
We
How
also
fun.
Do the same thing. Because I might know about this, but the person beside me, he will know us about something different.
Yeah.
So within us, we are always discovering something new. There's always something new to discover. It can be a legend, a myth, tradition, a place. Something. You always learn something new.
Yeah.
Always, always, always learn something new. So I highly recommend.
I just loved meeting Fer and listening to how passionate she was about Sweden and Stockholm. I mean, it's not every day you meet someone so positive and energetic, particularly in the middle of winter in Sweden. If you're interested in doing a tour with Fer, you can hit her up via her website, ferdenosotours.com, or on her Instagram, ferdenosotours. That's FERDONOSOTours. I'll also link to her in the episode notes too. Before I finish with Fer, She has a couple of little gems for you. I, of course, had to bring up my new obsession, which is a Stockholm bloodbath with fur. And there's some extra tidbits that I didn't know.
When you go out, I can show you right now.
Yeah.
It's a legend. The house, it has a cannonball. It is said that that cannonball was fired against Christian II during the Stockholm bloodbath.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was fired, like, to try and get him?
To try to get him. That's the legend.
Ooh.
True or false, I don't know, but the cannonball is there.
Oh my God, then I definitely...
Yeah, but you know what the thing is with the bloodbath? That I'm not saying that the king was not responsible for that, but really the mastermind behind this was the Archbishop of Stockholm.
Really?
Yeah, it was a revenge.
What?
Because Olaus Petri, who was the Archbishop, he wanted for Sweden to be continued part of the Danish kingdom. And he previously was imprisoned, and mm-hmm. all his wealth and properties were taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was payback time. He felt betrayed, and so they accused him of heresy. So he accused them, they accused him of heresy, and that's how he kind of got her revenge. Mm-hmm. So Christian II, of course, he is the one who gave the order to kill them because it was his order. But there were a lot of strings pulled behind the curtains in there.
Oh,
yeah.
That just adds this great new layer.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Maybe there needs to be a part two of the Newbie Guide to Sweden's version of the Stockholm Bloodbath. You never know. Time for some tips. This time about Gamlestaden. Guys, there's a ton of amazing places to eat and drink on Gamlestaden, and I have committed to a pleasant and digestible length of podcast episode. So I'm going to give you some tips based entirely on different scenarios. Scenario one, Mum and Dad are in town. Obviously, you need to take Mum and Dad to the Royal Palace and do a tour. You can even see the King's old stuffed horse there. Apparently, that's great, if you're into that kind of thing. For food, I recommend Österlånggatan 17. I took my mum and her husband there the first time they came to Stockholm, and it was fabulous. The food is really good without costing a kidney, and the location is deep within Gamlestaden, so it's a lovely walk there. And you're closely located to the cool statue of a king on a horse killing a dragon, called St. George and the Dragon. Another strong recommendation is Den Gyldene Frieden. It's a classic old restaurant which more or less looks the same as it did the day it opened in 1722. Fun fact, the Svenska Akademin, which is the group of people who select the Nobel Prize for Literature, are closely connected to Den Gyldene Frieden. They have a weekly tradition of eating dinner there every Thursday night at the same table. It is said that many Nobel Prizes have been decided at that very spot. Scenario 2, the drinking buddy. If you're into cocktails, head to Ferrarium on Stortorget or the Corner Club, which is located close to the Gamlestaden Tunnelbana. I'll be honest with you, it'll cost you a kidney to drink at these places, but it is very much worth it. The cocktails are fantastic. If you're into whiskey, absolutely go to Tweed, which is located on Lilla Nygatan. It's a sea of Chesterfield couches, it's bloody groovy, and they have a great range of whiskies. But if someone in your party doesn't like whiskey, don't worry about it. There's plenty of other options because restaurants Burgundy, Juret, and Flickan are also located in the same building. So there's plenty of other options aside from whiskey. Beer lovers, I can recommend Zum Franziskaner. They boast one of the best and most impressive German beer taps in the city. And they also stock the true-to-style German beers from Niedersham's Ombrigerie, who we visited in the previous episode. They also have great German food and are located on Hoepsbrunn, just near the water. Scenario 3. a date with someone special. Guys, you cannot go past the restaurant Burgundy, which is located in the same building as Tweed. For real, Burgundy is one of my favourite restaurants in the whole of Stockholm. It's so cozy inside. It's really cool that you have to walk past a hotel reception to get there. The food is fantastic and not too expensive. These guys really focus on their wine, and they have one of the best and most adventurous wine ranges I've ever seen. But what makes this place so special is the staff. They're really knowledgeable, friendly, and they make a real effort to get to know you. It really feels like you're being welcomed into someone's home. Huge recommendation for Burgundy. They're located on Lillenjögatan. Scenario 4. Hotspots for newbies. Gamlastan is really good for expats in general, but there is a pub which is kind of famous for being a bit of a hub for expats. It's called the Liffey, and it's located on Stora Nygatan. So if you're in need of a friend, a fellow expat, head to the Liffey. Scenario 5. Music lovers. Head to Geronimo's or Stumpen. Or go to both, because these two live music venues are actually connected underground. Both Geronimo's and Stumpen are super quirky, they look brilliant, and they host loads of great live bands throughout the week. Just look them up to see who's playing. Scenario 6, the foodie. If you're into food, you'll be into the restaurant called Kagas. They serve many smaller dishes which you can either choose between yourself or let the team set up a set menu based on the day's best dishes. Kagas has loads of great reviews. I have not personally eaten there, but I have heard fantastic things. Another restaurant which you might be interested in, which I have personally tried, is Juret. This place is awesome because you're sitting beside actual ruins, which are semi-excavated. It's really, really cool. Juret, like Kagas, is on the White Guide. People seem to love it, but I'll be honest with you. Once I ate a goose heart there, and I'm just not convinced you need to go through life eating a goose heart. So they're pretty bold. I'm just putting it out there. Do what you want. Follow your heart. Follow your goose heart. Well, that's... Oh, sorry about that. I just got a text from my Swedish father-in-law, Arne. I call him Arne Banana. Actually, Arne Banana is pretty amazing. He's a retired school teacher and he has so many fun facts about Sweden. And ever since his podcast started, he's just been firing off facts to me to tell you guys. In fact, he just sent one. Tell the podcast... Okay. He wants me to tell you guys that the St. George and the Dragon statue, you know the one I mentioned before with the king on a horse killing the dragon, that is actually not the original statue. Do you know where the original is? No, we don't. The original is in Storkyrka on Gamlastan and is made out of wood and has many beautiful colours. Wow. The original statue was made in 1489, which makes it 533 years old. Oh my God. That's amazing. Thanks, Arne Banana. Ah, thanks, you legend, Arne Banana. So there you go, something else for you. Well, guys, we've come to that time. If you're still listening, thank you so much for sticking around. Please let me know your thoughts on Gamlastan. What did I miss? What are your favourite spots to eat and drink? Do you have any crazy historical stories to share? Let me know via the Newbie Guide to Sweden Instagram page or Facebook group. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, take it easy and ha det bra.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.